Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the middle of the mitten. The earth is scorching warm, 40-degree weather in the middle of the winter, from the mothership with my good friend on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, Craig Russell. Welcome back to the show.
Hey Todd, how you feeling, man? You feeling better?
A lot better.
Oh, good.
I was sick.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I was hacking.
Yeah.
Hacking.
Well, you know what it is? It's this 10 below, and then it's 40, and then it's 10 below, and it's raining. And
that's
it's
not rain. It. That's not it.
What is it?
It's like I said last week, it's everybody hacking on me, claiming it was allergies, and I didn't lie about it. I said, look, people, are you sick? I am. Stay away.
Yeah.
It's not allergies.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we opened the show with cranberries.
Yeah, that's sad.
Another one gone.
I know. Dolores O'Riordan, the lead singer of the Cranberries, found dead in a hotel room in London earlier this week.
I love the Irish tone in her voice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 3% Irish.
Are you really?
Yeah, I told you I did that DNA test.
Oh, that's right.
Came back 3% Irish.
What are you, 97%?
Sicilian.
Oh, yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, pure.
Do you have Irish heritage in your family?
I do.
Okay.
My mother's great-grandmother lived in Indiana. What? It's true. What?
Indiana isn't really Ireland.
I'm just saying, though, my mother's great-grandmother, who was from Indiana, she was Irish.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Like that. She was from Indiana. That's how she became
Irish.
No,
but that part of the family was Irish, and I always knew that. I said, your grandmother, I said to my mother, you know, my great-grandmother, your great-grandmother, she was Irish. We're Irish.
Why is she from Indiana?
And my mother would say, get out of here.
Go make some pasta.
Go make some pasta.
Is that really stereotypical?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't want to say it is, but we have a huge show.
Do we really?
No, we really do.
I just walked into the studio literally minutes ago. I have no idea what's going on.
I've got a lot of things spread out
here. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Candy. What is that, rock candy?
That's from Jennifer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jennifer, one of my assistants, brought us some candy.
Yeah, she doesn't realize I'm diabetic and I shouldn't be eating candy. Okay. She's like all mad that I'm not eating her candy. And I'm like,
these Starburst, I'm too old to chew Starburst. Yeah. I'll lose my teeth.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not good at all.
Do you have real teeth? All your teeth?
I do have real teeth.
Good for you.
I had one yanked a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
It was yanked and cranked.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yank it and crank it.
Yank it and crank it. Turn it and burn it, baby, right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Nice fake radio voice.
It's totally fake radio voice.
Totally.
We have a question from a listener.
Oh, good. I love questions from listeners.
And their question is about law.
About the law.
Okay, when is Michigan and legalization of marijuana going to be on the ballot in the state of Michigan?
Well, that would be.
So we're gonna answer that question. We had another listener from St. Ignace.
Okay.
So big shout out to St. Ignace.
Oh, yeah.
Listening on Rock 105 or 95.5.
Rock 105 in St. Ignace.
Part of Black Diamond Group.
That's right.
Has a question regarding what's going to happen to the registered caregivers in regards to all the different changes taking place in the laws in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Are caregivers going to be phased out? And yet another listener sent an email. Send your emails to centralmichiganlawyer@gmail.com if you have a legal question. centralmichiganlawyer@gmail.com.
That's good.
And
look, you know, before you go on to that for a second, people do not realize the resource that is. They send in a question. You're going to answer it on the air. I mean, this is something that might cost people hundreds of dollars if they come into your office to ask questions about
it. Well, I don't charge for consultations. Oh. Other lawyers do.
Oh.
But I charge. But you're right, though, because it takes time to drive down to the office, make an appointment. Absolutely.
What if you're nowhere near the Todd L. Levitt Law Office in Mount Pleasant? What if what if you're in St. Ignace?
Yeah.
This is a way to get free legal advice. You're going to give them free advice on the radio for everyone to hear, and it doesn't cost you a dime.
This question comes from Alpena, Michigan.
Okay.
By the way, my buddy Tommy Dowd owns a Harborside Cycle in Alpena, and I have to big shout out to Tommy, and I have some information in regards to his shop and some events taking place. So stay tuned for that info.
All right.
But this question from Alpena is, if someone is driving a vehicle without insurance and is at fault in an accident, so someone has no insurance, the injured party, what can they or cannot, what can they do and what is possible?
Okay.
I don't do insurance law, but I do have some answers regarding that.
Okay.
We have to answer the questions.
Oh, yeah. Send in the question. What's the email again?
Central Michigan Lawyer, all spelled out, at gmail.com.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Central Michigan Lawyer, gmail.com.
And then we have some information. Again, another email from a listener.
That's crazy.
Wants to know, what is the exact definition of probable cause as it applies to the Fourth Amendment?
Mm.
So we're just going to talk a little bit about probable cause here.
Talking about law. That's crazy. On this law show, we're going to be talking about law.
And
there's more?
There's so much more.
How in the hell did you come up with all this?
Let me just say three things.
Okay.
Baby crying.
All right.
A head of lettuce.
Okay.
And driving with a suspended license.
Wait a minute. All right. Let me check. Baby crying, a head of lettuce, and driving with a suspended license. What is a pooper, a scooper, and a looper? No, I have no idea.
Pooper, scooper, looper. I love it.
I'm just making stuff up.
By the way, how's your weekend going?
It's going well. You know, it's Tip Up Town, first weekend of Tip Up Town.
What a great day. Saturday was amazing.
Oh, yeah. The parade and then the music and the tent and the ice. Well, the ice is having some problems. It's gotten warm, and then it was cold, and then it got warm again. The ice is having some issues. So, but anyway, we had fun in the entertainment tent. There was the parade. They named the Tip Up Town Queen. The first weekend almost in the books. There's still events going on today, and then a whole bunch of stuff next weekend, including the polar bear dip, our big ice fishing giveaway. Lots of fun at Tip Up Town USA.
I love Tip Up Town. It's
country and western is the theme this year.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, because I was listening to the interview about the ice carvers.
Yeah, exactly.
That gave it away right there.
Exactly, yep.
That was a great interview, by the way.
We did some hoedown dancing at the...
Excuse me?
We were doing some hoedown dancing.
And what kind of hoedown dance? Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, Big Beaver Road, exit 69, I-75, Troy, Michigan.
The Department of Transportation has a sense of humor.
They really do. Yeah, I mean, people have heard that one quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever been from down that area?
I got a question for you.
Okay, I have an answer for you.
You ever binge watch on TV or Netflix or anything?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Yes, I have. Unfortunately, myself.
So, do you ever binge watch? Sometimes.
I'm binge watching Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
Let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
I knew it existed. I recall seeing it on the FX channel.
Right.
When it came out back, I think, in 2008.
Yep.
But I was too caught up in doing this and that and the other thing.
You didn't have time.
But I just started watching Sons of Anarchy. It's about a 1% motorcycle club.
Right.
And I actually know some 1%ers. And, you know, as an attorney, and I have some close friends that, you know, that I know, I'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
Great men. Great men.
Okay.
I support motorcycle clubs and motorcyclists wholeheartedly. They do so much good for our veterans and so much good for charity and so on and so forth. So big shout out to all the motorcyclists out there. Okay. But Sons of Anarchy, it's about a fictitious motorcycle club in a small California town. But I got to tell you, I'm only on season two right now, and I need therapy. I mean, there's not one episode where I'm not just like, okay, I need blood pressure medicine. I need therapy. I mean, it is unbelievable. And the lead act, one of the lead actors in it is a guy on the show. He's Jax.
Okay.
He goes by Jax.
Okay.
But I saw him in a new King Arthur movie that Guy Ritchie put out, Madonna's ex-husband.
All right.
Guy Ritchie did Snatch and Two Twin Barrels or Two Smoking. He's a really unique English director.
Right.
So that's how I got hooked on Sons of Anarchy, because this actor in Arthur was so good. I wanted to see what else he was in. Sons of Anarchy. So this is a big shout out for the Sons of Anarchy. And we are a law show.
I'm amazed that you've actually taken some time to binge watch. Usually you're so busy with fat biking and shredding the gnar and all that other stuff that you do. You normally don't have a lot of downtime to binge watch.
Nice transition to about the Alpina Ice Fest fat bike race.
Well, there you go.
That my buddy Tony Dowd, who is the proprietor and owner of Harborside Cycle, is organizing.
Oh, okay.
So it takes place January 27th.
Okay, so it's next weekend.
Next weekend. And you can register online. So if anybody or you know is interested in participating in the second annual, like such as myself.
Yeah, I'm pointing right at you,
Ice Fest. I'm going to go, absolutely. Okay. But anyhow, Harborside Cycle in Alpena, it's a great shop. It's located, by the way, on North State Street.
Okay.
And they have skateboards now. They have cross-country skis up there, Trek bikes. It's a great shop. It's an all-year-round sport shop.
Oh, okay.
It's in Alpena, and they're announcing the second annual Ice Festival Fat Bike Race. It's a one-hour winter event, Craig.
Okay.
And it's held on the Wooded Winter Sports Trail behind the Northern Lights Arena.
Oh, I know where that is. Okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there.
It is.
Basically, you're going to do, it's a challenging two-mile loop through the beautiful terrain, and the riders that complete the most laps in 1 hour win all the prizes. But it's not just about the prizes. It's about doing something outside and participating in that.
And that part of the state is beautiful, man. When you're riding along there and you can see Thunder Bay and the water and the trees and everything, oh, man, it's going to be fantastic.
So, yeah, just Google Ice Fest Fat Bike Race, Alpena, Michigan.
There you go.
And you can register right there online. So it's icefestfatbikerace.com.
Okay.
But, yeah, check out Harborside Cycle when you're up there. And they're open 6 days a week. Say hi to my buddy Tommy up there.
Right.
He owns a great shop. I'm all about supporting, you know, shops.
Local shops.
And Tommy's a good buddy. He's going to be on the show. Tommy Dowd.
Oh, good. All right.
Yep. So with that being said, we are a law show. I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt, and you are who?
Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle.
How many days a week now?
9, possibly 10.
No, you're on 12 days a week.
Really? Am I?
Yes. We have a huge show.
Yes, we do.
And we're giving a big shout out to all the listeners out there who have downloaded the podcast app.
Yeah, you should.
Because we're trending high, so what do they need to do?
Download the podcast app, and you search for Todd L. Levitt. You subscribe to the show. That way it'll pop up on your little player whenever we load the show up, you know, after the show's over, and load it up. It's also on the iTunes. You can find it on Google Play, on SoundCloud, on Podbean, all over the place.
And one of our associate producers, Julia,
is
doing a great job. We got some big announcements coming up.
Oh, do we?
Oh, yeah.
See, I walk in late and I don't know anything that's going on.
Nothing that's going on, Craig.
I'm the producer of this show. I should know what's going on.
Don't you want to know about what's going to happen to the caregivers in the state of Michigan?
I do, and after we take a break, we'll find out.
All right, let's go to break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with Cranberries.
Zombie. Great song. Dolores O'Riordan found dead over the last week in London. They were going to go on tour, the Cranberries, earlier in 2017. Unfortunately, she had some health issues, and then they found her in the bathroom. They still don't know what happened to her, but it's so sad. She was so talented.
It's all sad. I was watching on HBO the last 5 years of David Bowie.
Oh, okay.
I love David Bowie. What an icon.
Yep.
We're losing all our icons.
I know.
Baby crying.
Hold on. Baby crying. Head of lettuce.
Driving on a suspended license. What do you want to hear first?
What is a hippie, a dippy, and a whippy? No,
okay. Can I just make a statement?
Sure. Baby crying.
Folks, most of us have had kids.
Yeah.
And they were babies at one time.
Sure, we all were babies at one time.
And we've all had issues finding sitters for our babies,
sure.
Our in-laws, yep. Grandparents, younger siblings, you name it. But if that sitter is unavailable, is it really necessary to take your baby to the movie that I'm in a theater watching?
Yeah,
I just want to say, a week ago, movie theater, baby crying, I'm not making this up. I wanted to stand up and say, can somebody tell the baby, you know what I wanted to say? Can you shut that baby? I'm trying to be polite here with the FCC rules.
I understand that.
But again, being a parent, I was sitting there. I don't know if everybody else was thinking the same thing.
It took
about 5 minutes. The baby exited the theater.
Yeah, that's.
I missed a lot of dialogue, and I left the theater, and I went to the manager after the movie, and I said, "Listen, here's what happened. I couldn't hear this dialogue because I'm all about dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear what they're talking about, right?
Of course.
So they offered me free popcorn, and I said, "Look, that's not the point. You guys should have a baby policy."
Well, they can't do that. They can't. If somebody brings in a child and they pay a child's ticket, they can't prevent that.
No, this was a baby.
I understand that.
I'm talking about.
I get that.
You know, I mean, I'm talking like me.
I know.
You know, like a baby.
Oh, I know.
And look, I respect mothers. I respect parents. I get it. You brought the baby to the movie theater.
Yeah.
But Star Wars? You mean, because I've brought it, like, how about bring the baby to the movie theater when I'm there with the girlfriend watching some girly movie that I'm really not even paying attention to, then let the baby wail. All right, head of lettuce.
How was Star Wars?
It was great.
Was it?
I mean, I was 13 years old standing outside the Americana West at 9 in Greenfield when the first Star Wars came out. Head of lettuce.
Okay. So we've had the pooper.
We've had the what?
The scooper.
You've had the pooper.
We've had the pooper, the scooper, now and then the duper. All right, so... Head of lettuce. Okay.
I have officially gone back to buying just heads of lettuce, not bags of lettuce.
Okay.
So I was at a grocery store last week. Nobody cares. It's like a Facebook moment. Who the hell cares?
Right.
I grabbed a head of lettuce, and I was so happy to have that lettuce in my hand that I pushed the cart with one hand and just threw the head of lettuce up and down as I walked across the entire store. I'm tired of modern day grocery store shopping. There's too many choices. There's not like 10 different choices of Cheerios, this flavor, that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reverting back to everything that happened in the 80s. Okay. I'm trying to go off the grid more so. I'm trying to just buy, you know, in the 80s, all we had was a head of lettuce. You didn't have bag choices.
True.
I'm going back to drinking fountain water. I mean, I grew up on fountain water. All of us did.
I think we all turned out.
We don't need bottled water. We're a law show. We better get to law.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to say, you know, they do have those shopping delivery services now. You don't even have to leave the store or leave your house. They'll go and they'll do all the shopping for you. And then that way you can just tell them, look, I don't want super honeycomb, blah, blah, blah Cheerios. Just give me the plain box of Cheerios. Give me a plain head of lettuce. Just give me tap water.
We don't need a bag of lettuce. I just buy me a...
I do like bagged lettuce, though.
You know what?
The only reason I like it, because I don't get that spinach or the leafy stuff. I get taco shredded lettuce. I like shredded lettuce because it's easier to eat and everything like that. All right, so hold on. So we had the pooper. We had the scooper, which was the lettuce. I don't know why. And then what's driving with suspended license?
Driving with suspended license.
That's the ooper.
I had a case.
Okay.
Came about a week ago.
All right.
In the state of Michigan... If you're operating a motor vehicle and your license is suspended or revoked,
right?
Let's just say suspended,
okay,
because of points, whatever reason, you're operating a motor vehicle, you get pulled over, the car is getting towed.
That's bad news for you.
It's bad news.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it.
So I have a case where
there's a driver without a license and a passenger. The passenger, the female, it was her boyfriend, new boyfriend. She didn't know his license was suspended previous. Okay. So she's allowing him to operate this motor vehicle.
Right.
He gets pulled over because of a license plate light.
Okay.
And obviously he gets placed under arrest because this is like third or fourth offense.
That's bad.
Yeah. And because it's his third or fourth offense, the law requires that the officer take the paper, take the original plate off the vehicle and affix a paper plate to the vehicle.
Now, whose car is it? Is it the boyfriend or the girl's?
It's the girlfriend's car.
Oh.
It's my client's car.
Okay.
But she didn't have any proof of insurance.
Oh.
She just was driving without insurance. So now the car is getting towed.
Right.
So now the car, it's a Sunday morning, Saturday to Sunday morning.
Okay.
The car is at the tow yard.
All right.
She needs her car for work.
Sure.
That Monday, a week ago, this past Monday.
Right.
Or a week.
Yeah.
She obtains insurance.
Okay.
Goes to the tow yard.
She goes and proof of insurance, she should be able to get the car.
Exactly.
Okay.
Problem.
What's the problem?
The deputy, and this is not Isabella County, this is downstate, the deputy sheriff, who was new on the job, failed to affix the paper plate to the motor vehicle.
So the car has no plate on it whatsoever.
No metal plate, nothing.
No paper plate.
No paper plate.
Uh-oh, what happens?
Well, it took it for the entire week went by, and the deputy wasn't even working, and no one at the sheriff's department would do anything about it because it was her case. And so this young lady had trouble getting to work and even missed work because this deputy failed to do his or her job and affix a paper plate, and nobody at the sheriff's department was willing to do anything or put the lawyer in touch with somebody who could do something to put this paper plate on.
And when that lawyer would be...
You're talking to him.
You.
And I'm upset.
Well, yeah.
I'm upset. And look, this is a new deputy. Everybody has to start somewhere.
Yeah, and you give somebody the benefit of the
doubt.
But
it was $25 per day over beyond the original tow fee of like $175.
Oh, geez.
My client should not have to cover the fee. My client could not get to work, and nobody at this department would assist me in putting me in contact with this deputy. And believe me, trust me, I called. And I don't even practice in this county, so I was trying to reach out to attorney friends of mine to put me in touch with like a sergeant or someone on command.
Sure.
I called a half a dozen times down to the sheriff's department. Couldn't get a hold of anybody.
So what's going to be your path of recourse at this
point? Well, eventually, I mean, today's Sunday.
Right.
Eventually, the officer came on duty this weekend.
Okay.
And put a paper plate on it.
All right.
But I'm upset because should my client have to go an entire week without her motor vehicle because somebody failed to do their job?
Now, in all reality, if she pays the impound fee to get the car out and she's got proof of insurance and she's got legal registration, she should be able to get her metal plate back on, shouldn't she?
Metal plate's destroyed.
Oh,
the law requires that the officer, upon arresting the driver who had habitual offenses of driving without a license, to take the plate. The law requires that.
Yeah, but that's weird because it's her car, not his. Why should she get punished for him?
Because she could have been charged with allowing an unlicensed driver to operate a motor vehicle. There's a misdemeanor charge for that.
Okay.
There's also a charge for allowing a drunk driver to operate a motor vehicle.
Can she just go get a new plate
She
can't get a new plate.
No, because once that paper plate is affixed, the Secretary of State is notified.
Okay.
So when she walked into a branch office, there would be an indication something would flag. My point is this. She should not have had to have paid the extra $25
a
day.
Agreed.
And do you want to know the end of the story?
She paid it.
No, the deputy, and I want to thank her. I'm not going to say the name of the department. She did the right thing. She called the tow yard, and she took responsibility, and my client did not have to pay the extra fees.
Good. Well,
exactly.
That's good.
I'm upset because there should have been some kind of recourse at the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
Okay, I should not have had to wait for this. And look, I love law enforcement. I support law enforcement.
I know. Yep.
That's why, one, I'm not saying the county. I'm not talking about who the deputy is. It was a new deputy. But this department, there needs to be other things put in place to allow someone such as myself to take care of an issue like this.
There should have been some kind of protocol.
And in most cases, there is.
Some kind of protocol or standard operating procedure of what you do. If the deputy is gone, then somebody else should have been able to take that person.
I'll just say this, and this is not in Mid-Michigan. This is down towards the southeast part of the state.
Okay.
And again, great deputy. She did the right thing in the end, but I'm still upset about just the system and how it failed my client. It's not about me. It's just about my client who did get insurance, went to get her car out of tow, and yet there was no paper plate that was affixed on it, and the deputy, unfortunately, had the next 3 days off. And nobody would assist me in contacting her.
Now, in all reality, your client made a bad choice, a couple of bad choices. Hopefully she's learned from this.
No, I agree. But here's the thing. So just because my client made a bad choice doesn't mean on the other end that things should have been done with proper procedures.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because had it been the other way around, had she been nothing been, you know, she had insurance and had it all been legal and it wouldn't have been taken care of, it should have been the same thing. It should have gotten taken care of either way. No matter.
The paper plate, folks, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about a case where my client owned a vehicle. She was a passenger. Her new boyfriend was operating the vehicle. He didn't have a license. She didn't know it. He gets pulled over. He has more than one offense. Therefore, he was placed under arrest. The law requires that the plate be confiscated, a paper plate be affixed to the vehicle. My client didn't have insurance, so therefore the car was towed to a tow yard. A day or so later, when she went to pick it up with proof of insurance, the officer failed to put the paper plate on the vehicle. Therefore, she could not get her car to get to work the next 3 to 4 days. I, as her attorney, tried contacting the sheriff's department and the county in which we're talking about, which is way downstate. I could not get somebody to take my call. They kept saying, you're going to have to leave a message when she comes on duty, so-and-so, at nighttime.
Right.
And I just think that system was broken downstate. And I did bring it to the attention of the actual elected sheriff.
Okay.
I didn't want to get the deputy in trouble because,
no,
you know what?
But still.
She's new. She's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, did she make a mistake? Yes. But so you're right. My client didn't have any proof of insurance in the first place, so this never would have happened. But I don't want this to happen to somebody else.
Right, and here's a couple of things. What if your client lost her job because of this? That would have been really bad. Here's the second thing. They still dating?
I don't know, and here's the bad thing about it. I'm not sure if she didn't lose her job.
See, that would be then that's bad. That's really then there's, I mean, you know.
But do you see where I'm coming from?
I totally see where you're coming from. Totally get it. Totally get it. It's the Todd L. Levitt Law Show talking about law. We still have a lot more to
law talk. Lettuce, baby cries, and driving without a suspended license, and
pooper, scooper, and an ooper.
Pooper, scooper, ooper.
Okay.
And we had a question we didn't get to.
No, that's but we still have two more segments of the show. We got plenty more time.
Can we talk to Norm and Mike and just go all day? How about a Todd L. Levitt Law Show Marathon? I think the folks would go for it. We'll have a guest every hour on the hour, and we'll do it for charity, and we'll stay on the air for 24 hours.
You'll stay on the air for 24
hours. We'll do something for the vets. We'll give back to the vets because we love our vets.
Right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got oodles of law questions. You've got like, the email must have been, box must have been full.
I won't talk. You ask, I'll answer.
All right, there we go.
Take us out. Todd L. Levitt Law Show back on the air. broadcasting with a Starburst, we decided to take Jen up on the Starburst, and we're chewing on Starburst.
Yeah, couldn't do that, but do it anyway.
Orange flavor.
Uh-huh.
Delicious.
I have a yellow one.
What's that?
What flavor is the yellow one?
I have no
one.
Lemon. Lemon.
It reminds me, there's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer takes Lisa to work with him, and they have donuts. And she goes, "Do you have any fruit?" And he looks at one of the donuts and goes, "There's purple in this fruit. Purple's a fruit."
Yeah.
I love Homer.
That was good. I'm just chewing. I would have laughed.
Okay.
We promised listeners on the Todd Levitt Law Show here, by the way, broadcasting on 98.5 UPS.
And Rock 105 and Rock 95.5. We just rocked. By the way, big shout out to NASCAR Steve and Smitty, who were in the parade yesterday at Tip Up Town. They drove the Rock 105 vehicle, and we had a good time. They hung out with us. The Beverage Tent, Uncle Groovy played, big party band. Great time. So big shout out to those guys.
Love Uncle.
Yeah.
Love Smitty.
Huh? Uncle Groovy, good band.
Uncle Groovy, good band.
Yeah.
We promised listeners we'd get right to the question.
Yes, we will. So here's
question number one. Is it has to do with the caregiver law in the state of Michigan.
That's right. All right. So
there's not a specific caregiver law.
Right.
It's under the Medical Marijuana Act.
Email from Barbara from St. Ignace. Barbara wants to know. She's a medicinal caregiver. She helps people get their medicine. And she's just getting a new job with one of these new grow facilities below the bridge. She wants to know if she's still going to be able to do that job and also be a caregiver for her patients.
The answer?
Yes.
Two letters.
Okay.
N-O.
No.
In Michigan,
okay,
if you are a caregiver, which means that you could be your own patient and grow your own 12 plants, 2.5 ounces,
all right,
usable cannabis. That was always an issue. What's the definition of usable? State of Michigan, if you're a caregiver and you become an employee under one of the new five licenses in the state of Michigan, marijuana licenses, you have 5 business days from the date of hire to submit a form to cancel your caregiver status.
Ooh.
So if you are a business and you're hiring someone that's a caregiver, or you are a caregiver in the state of Michigan, again, that person has 5 business days from the date of their hire to submit a form, go to LARA, to cancel their caregiver status.
What if they don't do that?
Well, if they don't do it, then the license, the person who owns the license, okay?
Yeah.
Is putting their license in jeopardy.
Ooh.
Because the state requires it.
In fact,
there was an advisory bulletin that LARA, which is Licensing and Regulatory Affairs through the state of Michigan, had put out last year in regards to this issue. Now, how do you withdraw from the registry? That's the question.
All right.
So basically a patient, can you tell I'm chewing on a Starburst?
Yeah, you can.
My mouth is like Niagara Falls now with water. I'm not even chewing on it. It's gone. But the flavor is just lasted. But if you're a patient or caregiver and you wish to withdraw from the medical marijuana patient registry, you must submit a form. It's a completed withdrawal form, and you submit that directly to the MMMP, okay, according to the instructions on the form.
Right.
So there's your answer.
I just, one of the people who holds one of these licenses, is it maybe in your best interest to not hire someone who used to be or is a caregiver or used to be a caregiver?
That's a great, okay, are you reading up on this stuff?
No, not really. I'm just inquisitive.
Okay, the Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act, MCL 333.27101, requires grower and processor facility licenses to have at least 2 years experience as a caregiver or have an active employee with such experience. So if you're a company or individual and you're applying in the state of Michigan for a grower or processor license, either you yourself have to provide proof of 2 years of experience as a caregiver or have an active employee with such experience.
So you're going to want to hire
people. By the way, that requirement ends December 31st of 2021. And I think bottom line is they want to make sure that there's somebody involved in the process who understands the grow process.
Right, exactly. So you do want to hire somebody who's got that experience. That's the rationale for doing it. But you got to make sure that they stop being their own caregiver or helping other patients if they're going to take this job with one of these licensed facilities. But that's something they've got to do on their own so they don't jeopardize the big license. But you need to have people who know what they're doing in your business.
Basically, the Bureau requires the following. Upon receiving a license, Any employee or person with an interest in the business who is also a caregiver must submit the form to cancel the caregiver status within 5 business days.
Okay.
If a new employee is a caregiver, that person also has 5 business days from the date of the hire to submit the form to cancel the caregiver status.
So here,
but all this information, it may be over some people's heads. Just go to Lara, and all the information's on Lara.
So here's the takeaway. The takeaway
is, or tune into our show.
That's exactly right. Takeaway is, if you're a caregiver, you need to end your caregiving license so you can work for these bigger companies. And also, don't take a baby to a Star Wars movie.
Don't take a baby to a Star Wars movie.
Don't do
that. But you know something? The other issue is, and I get this all the time, what's going to happen to the caregivers in the state of Michigan?
Yeah.
My fear is that the state's going to phase them out. Because recreational cannabis will be on the ballot in the state of Michigan.
Wasn't that one of the other questions?
That was one of the other questions. Yeah.
Sorry. Yep. Okay.
So, you know, legalization will be on the ballot in the state of Michigan, I believe, in 2018.
They got enough signatures.
Yeah, the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol did gather enough signatures to put it on the ballot.
Why wouldn't
so,
it
to
be
place
on the
ballot? By the way, to place the initiative on the ballot, the coalition had to gather 252,523 valid signatures of registered Michigan voters, and my understanding is they did so.
Why do they need such a specific number? Is it like some percentage of Michigan voters that has to be that specific of a number?
I'm not quite sure on that issue, but if you're on Facebook, you can follow the Michigan Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. They have a Facebook page.
Okay.
Or go to regulatemichigan.org. Jeff Irwin, friend of our show.
Right on.
Former House of Representative out of Ann Arbor. He was termed out. He's behind the coalition. Great guy. So by the way,
it's going to be on the ballot this November in this election.
Absolutely.
When you vote for a new governor, which, by the way, it would be interesting to know where the governor, all the people who are running for governor, what their stand is on all of this.
You know, look.
It's probably going to be a pretty hot.
We're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. We're Americans.
And we're also Michiganders.
We're Michiganders.
Because we are in Michigan. Even though you can hear this show all across the country on podcasts and everything, we're based in Michigan. So this is where we've got some.
Governor Snyder, as far as I'm concerned, has done some really good things for the men and women I represent as a defense attorney.
Okay.
He's expanded the expungement laws, which allow you to set aside a conviction after a certain period of time.
Right.
So he's addressed that issue, which has been huge. Hasn't gone far enough yet, though. That's a whole nother segment.
Right.
That's a whole nother show. But he's done some other good things. We need to terminate completely the drive responsibility fee, which is a horrible, horrible thing.
He's not going to do that before he gets out of office.
Well, there's been some language that has made it to committees and then it dies out. We need to talk to Rick Jones. It seems like Rick Jones, he's a great rep. He gets everything done.
Well, here's what it's going to be. I bet you money, dollar to donuts, there'll be two hot button topics for this upcoming election. One of them is going to be marijuana. One of them is going to be the driver's responsibility fee. Both of those things are enough people know about them.
But here's the thing. The people gathered enough signatures, which the law allows in the Constitution.
Right.
Because we are the people, to put the issue of recreational cannabis on the ballot.
Okay.
The issue of the driver's responsibility fee is something that has to go through the House, the Senate, and the governor has to sign off on.
I understand that.
I don't know. Unless the people of the state of Michigan, somebody can gather enough signatures to put it on the ballot. Speaking of cannabis,
yeah,
Sarah Barber is going to be coming back on the show.
Oh, is she? Yeah.
Cannabon Therapeutics.
Yep, they've got a new logo and everything.
Big shout out to Sarah Barber from...
She's from the St. Joe area. Yep.
Cannabon Therapeutics. Before. Check them out online. Yep. Great products.
She's been on before. So.
Question.
Answer.
Here's the question, Craig Russell, from The Morning Hustle.
Right on.
What is the question?
Question is... What is a financial responsibility judgment?
A financial responsibility judgment is when somebody, unfortunately, is injured in an auto accident.
Okay.
And the injured party wants to sue the at-fault driver who caused the accident. But the at-fault driver has no insurance.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why that puts us at risk. That's why having no insurance is such a serious issue.
It is.
So now, the driver of the vehicle who unfortunately bumps into you, injures you, or you're just damaged vehicle, you sue that person. You can still sue the person. Now, that judgment goes to the state of Michigan, and the uninsured driver will not be able to obtain her or his driving privileges until they satisfy that judgment through the state of Michigan.
No, we got to take a break.
Did you follow that?
I did follow
so
that.
So if you're sued, if you are a driver, you cause an accident, you are sued. The person who is suing you can attach that judgment to your driving privileges.
I have two questions I want to ask you about that.
So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I've got two questions I want to ask you about that. We got to take a break, but when we come back from break, we'll address that, all right?
I want to answer the question.
Well, you're going to answer the question, but I want to ask you stuff about that. But we have to take a break.
Okay. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the mothership in the middle of Midton, tip-up town weekend.
Weekend one. There's a whole nother weekend next week.
This weekend, I'm exhausted.
I know.
I'm exhausted from watching Sons of Anarchy. Two seasons.
You and your binge watching.
No, two seasons of Sons of Anarchy, and I think I need therapy. I'm just.
Or at least a leather motorcycle jacket or something.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Whatever. Hey, we were talking about law.
We're a law show.
That's right. We were talking about you were posing the question, if somebody gets into a car accident and the person who causes the accident doesn't have insurance.
Correct.
And the person who's injured in the accident wants to sue.
And they do sue.
They do sue. That person loses their driver's license.
Well, the person suing the plaintiff obtains a judgment in court.
Okay.
Okay. That is what's called a financial responsibility judgment.
Right.
And that attaches to your driving privileges. So now the driver with no insurance needs to get to work, support his or her children.
That's what I want to know.
So now they go get insurance, but they don't have a driver's license because there's a $10,000 judgment out there that they cannot pay.
Well, I can tell you one thing. First place, they're going to get an insurance. That's going to be hard to begin with. If you're going to an accident without insurance, it's hard to get. You can get insurance, but it's going to be expensive. But how are they going to go about doing that? What are they going to do if they need to go to their job to pay their bills and to pay off this responsibility, but they can't get a driver's license? What are they going to do?
Well, I am Attorney Todd L. Levitt, and this is called a Todd L. Levitt Law Show with my fake radio voice. The person who has the financial responsibility judgment against him or herself can apply through the state of Michigan for a driver's license.
Okay.
There is relief. It's called financial responsibility restricted driver's license. You can file through the state of Michigan something that's called a partial payment agreement and something that is called proof of financial responsibility insurance with the Michigan Department of State. So if you or someone you know out there was in an automobile accident, they were uninsured, or there's a judgment against them for whatever reason,
right,
and it attached to his or her driving privileges, and it's a financial responsibility judgment, there is a branch of the Michigan Department of State, Secretary of State, Action Processing Unit located in Lansing, and you can apply for a restricted driver's license and set up a partial payment agreement upon proof of financial responsibility insurance. If there's an attorney who represented the plaintiff, You can have an attorney such as myself contact that attorney, or you can do so yourself and try to work out payment arrangements with the attorney. And that attorney should be able to then help you fill out this paperwork
right.
to get your financial responsibility restricted driver's license. Now, there is a phone number you can call if you're doing it yourself through the state of Michigan, 517-322-6406, 517-322-6406. If you missed any portion of the podcast and what I just talked about, download the free podcast app.
That's right.
And type in the show, Todd Levitt, subscribe to it, or catch us on Podbean or SoundCloud, or contact my office at
99-772-6000.
Talk to Jackie or Jennifer.
That's right. Or you can email centralmichiganlawyer@gmail.com.
Right. So if you're driving without a driver's license and there's a financial responsibility judgment, there is relief. The other thing I would tell you is if that judgment is more than 10 years old, it's no longer valid, there's other relief that is there for you.
Okay.
So this is a whole nother show.
Right.
But I just want to answer that question that came from a listener.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to ask about is, okay, so if you are in this accident and you get hurt, you have insurance. And of course, in the state of Michigan, we have no fault insurance, which is way more expensive than it is in other places. Doesn't that give you some kind of restitution? Don't you get something for having? What's the purpose of paying into that insurance all the time?
When it comes to questions regarding no-fault insurance and insurance, some of this, most of this is so over my head.
Right.
I'll refer you to an attorney who deals with insurance companies.
Okay. I just wondered how.
That's my way of getting around that.
I totally understand. Yeah. No, I get it. So.
But the thing is, I, as a motorist, I pay extra for uninsured motorist insurance.
Right.
So I have,
we all
have
to.
Well, I don't think everybody has it.
No, that's part of what you pay when you pay your car insurance every month, or when you get your policy, it spells out what everything is going for. And a portion of that goes to cover uninsured motorists. If you get into an accident and someone can't pay, that's how you get, you can claim.
Well, aside from your own insurance.
Right, exactly.
But by the way, exactly, if somebody,
covering other people, that's
somebody,
why it's no fault. That's why. It
right.
Is.
But if somebody out there is, I am a criminal defense attorney, but if somebody out there is injured in an automobile, truck, motorcycle, sledding accident, contact my office at 779-879-772-6000. Shameless plug. I'll put you in touch with John Marco.
Oh, okay.
One of the best attorney in the state of Michigan. I'll give you a cell number.
989-772-6000. Todd Levitt. You need a jingle.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Probable cause.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what was this question about?
Another listener wanted to know what's the definition of, you know, probable cause. And this related to, you know, the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Okay.
And we're big constitutionalists, you and I.
Very
we
much
believe
so.
In the Constitution wholeheartedly.
That's right. There's a reason.
Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment. Absolutely.
First Amendment. I mean, me, you, we're on this radio show. First Amendment is one of the big ones.
So the question is, and this is a whole other show, what is reasonable? When is a search reasonable? Well, we're talking about probable cause. Well, the police must generally show, here it is, that it is more likely than not that a crime has occurred, and that if a search is conducted, it is probable that they will find either stolen goods or evidence of the crime. That's what that's the definition of probable cause. That's law school 101.
Okay.
So probable cause is because in order, look, we have Fourth Amendment rights to, you know, unreasonable search and seizure.
Exactly.
Okay? From government intrusion. And there's a limit to that privacy. And state and or federal officers, Craig, are allowed, were justified to search your premises, car, or other property in order to look for seized illegal items, stolen goods, or evidence of a crime. But as I just said, there are rules that law enforcement must follow when engaging in searches and seizures.
I mean, let's put it this way.
There's things they can do and there's things they cannot do, but they have to have probable cause, and that is that it is probable that they will find either stolen goods or evidence of the crime, and is more likely than not that the crime has occurred.
Can I throw one example out there for you, Mr. Todd L. Levitt, lawyer at large?
Go right ahead with my fake radio voice.
So let's say you're sitting at home and you live in an 8-plex apartment complex, and all of a sudden you hear screaming, 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 and a big thud, and you wonder what the hell's going on. So you call the police, and they come up and they knock on the door.
My door?
Anybody's door. Wherever they think that something has happened. You open the door, and the guy opening the door has blood all over him. Hands, body, there was screaming, and then there was a big thud. Now the guy opens the door and goes, "Hi, officer, can I help you?" And he's got blood all over him. You would think that would probably be probable cause enough to go, is there something going on in your apartment? Can we come in and see where all this blood is coming from? Would that be? Would you think that would be pretty
So the
legit?
Question is, the guy who answers the door that's all bloodied, and there's right. a, did the officer hear the scream?
Whoever called the police heard it.
So the 911 operator.
Sure. Okay.
But it could have been on the TVs. So the question is, what was the call to 911?
There I was just a heard scream. A bunch of scream and a big thud upstairs and something's going on. Maybe you ought to send somebody over. That's what
it's not in the apartment that the person who called is from.
No.
They're calling,
as you
said earlier, they're calling regarding something they heard.
Right, in another apartment.
Right, so the law enforcement shows up at that apartment.
Yep.
And there's a guy at the door all bloodied.
Right.
So your question is, can they go in without a search warrant?
Agree. Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, there are exceptions to warrantless searches.
Okay.
We've talked about this in the past. There's consent.
Right.
You don't need an officer does not need a warrant if there's consent present. And how about probable cause that I just mentioned?
Right.
Again, if there's enough probable cause or there's a crime that is in the act and is being committed
or has been
and it's
committed.
A matter of life, someone's safety, there are exigent circumstances that allow an officer to enter the premises and do what is necessary to protect that life.
So you are being a lawyer.
That doesn't give the officer the right necessarily. Well, let's say this. Let's say that someone's bloody at the door. There's enough probable cause to enter without a search warrant. Once they enter, they can do what's they can sweep the premise to make sure that there's nobody else in there that is one harmed or armed inside the residence.
Right.
So under those circumstances, there are cases and the law does allow an officer to do so.
How would you defend that? If you say, could you defend that?
So the officer comes into the house, one of the rooms they're searching, there's all this cannabis, and it's a state where it's not recreational or even medical.
Okay.
So now you're going to argue that the officer had no probable cause to cross the plane in the first place, and then everything seized is the fruit of the poisonous tree. How do you like that for being a lawyer?
Wow, there you go. You whoever paid for your law bills, man, you're making them proud.
So, you know, basically there's something called reasonable expectation of privacy. I'm just trying to think back from law school.
Sure.
And the police may not perform a warrantless search anywhere you have a reasonable expectation of privacy unless, again, one of the warrant exceptions apply. And if there is evidence that's obtained through unreasonable or illegal search, the police may not use it against you, Craig, in trial. This is called the exclusionary rule.
Okay.
So
let's say...
You ever hear of that?
Never.
The exclusionary rule. How's that for being an attorney?
So let's say...
Pulling that out of my memory bank. Maybe there's some lawyers out there go, wow, did Todd just say exclusionary rule?
Todd knows what he's talking about.
Of course I do.
So let's say...
But that rule, by the way, is designed to deter police conduct. There you go.
You knock on the police knock on the door. Guy opens the door all bloodied. And he says, sure, come on in, officer. I've got nothing to hide. And they see a trail of blood going to a closet. And they think, obviously, this guy has injured somebody, killed somebody, done something, and they've put this bloodied thing, person, animal, whatever it is, in this closet. Do they have probable cause to open up the closet to see if the trail of blood leads to something?
Possibly.
It's a
but again, the exclusionary rule allows us attorneys to file motions. And it enables courts basically to exclude, you know, some of this incriminating evidence from introduction at trial upon proof that the, you know, the evidence was procured in contradiction or contravention of a constitutional provision. And that's what you're referring to right now.
Right.
You're talking about the Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizure, a bloody trail to the door. I'll say, even though I'm a defense attorney, that they get in the closet.
Sure.
If an officer comes to a door... Let's just objectively think about this.
Okay.
Let me put down my defense attorney cap here.
Okay.
An officer comes to the door. The 911 operator heard screams. Guy opens the door all bloodied. The officer can look in and see the apartment's a mess. There's blood splattered everywhere. They're getting in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying because now the public safety is the issue.
Exactly.
Somebody could have been killed, is in need of serious medical attention. I'm going to say... They get in.
And then here's the other part of this. So let's say they go to the closet door. There's a blood trail leading the closet door. They open the closet door, 50 marijuana plants in there, but no bloody person in there. They can't do anything about the marijuana plants because that's not what they're in there looking for, correct?
wrong.
That's the fruit of the poisonous tree.
It's not the fruit of the poisonous tree if they can get in the apartment or the house and they have a right to be in there. They can get past the warrantless search, one of the exceptions.
Right.
And they come upon a closet that they have a right to search because the blood led to the closet.
Okay.
And there's enough evidence to justify opening that closet. Look, if they can get in the apartment, that doesn't mean they can get into all the rooms, closets, sure. doors, and look under the couch.
Sure.
But the scenario you gave me was there's a blood trail to that door.
Right.
If there's no blood trail, they don't get the marijuana.
Exactly.
Just because an officer can get across the plane into the apartment, if there's nothing in plain view, I would argue that they cannot search beyond what they can see in plain view. That does not give him or her a right to go upstairs, to go in the basement. Now they have to take a moment, contact the magistrate, get a warrant to cover the entire premises. Now, I mean, we're talking fast.
I'm
trying to think. I want to take a moment here so I sound articulate.
I understand.
So it depends on the circumstances.
I'd like to see you on Law and Order. I'd like to see you going up against whatever his name was.
I love going to trial.
I know. But you do.
But the thing is, you can only go on a trial. But here's something really interesting. People always say, how often do you go to trial? You know, as a trial attorney, and there's a lot of great trial attorneys in Mount Pleasant. I mean, I can name half a dozen, even in mid-Michigan, throughout the state of Michigan. It's all based on facts.
Right.
And if there's a question of law, that doesn't even go to the jury. You file a pretrial motion. Judges determine what the law is. So in a lot of these cases I have, these issues are dealt with in motions and evidentiary hearings, preliminary examinations. And if you don't get past some of these motions, evidentiary hearings, and exams, you don't get to trial.
Right.
Because these are matters of law. And once they're resolved, they're either going to be for you or against you.
So in other words,
do you understand what I'm saying? Because the jury determines the facts. The judge determines what the law is.
Exactly.
So on the Todd Elevitt Law Show, I am an attorney, Craig Russell.
I know you are. So in other words, you're saying is when you watch Law and Order, every time there's a case and it goes to trial, not always does that happen. It's a little stylized that it doesn't happen that way.
It doesn't always happen that
way. Exactly. That's because it's on TV. TV has taught us nothing.
Well, there's a lot of cases that go to trial, but I think what attorneys, you have to do your due diligence.
Sure.
Take a look at the facts, the law. Does it apply? Do some case research. See what the state cases say, what the federal law says. See what some of the recent decisions are, whether the case is published, unpublished, what's going on in a court of appeals, Supreme Court. I mean, you have to take a look at all that. I have good law clerks.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, not Jen and Jackie. They run the office. I have other law clerks that are just top-notch research assistants. But anyhow,
I'm exhausted. We got to go.
I'm not. I'm ready to do a 24-hour Todd Elevitt Show marathon.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Hey, what do you think about sometime in the summer we do something for the listeners where we have some kind of gathering somewhere?
That'd be cool. We should maybe even do a live version of this show.
That's what I'm talking about. I want to bring some of my motorcycle buddies.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, Biker Bob.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Big Hair and all those guys.
Oh, big hair reference.
I know you like that.
Do we not love Big Hair?
We do.
What about Little John?
Oh, they're awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Chris Taylor is a big fan of the show.
Yes, we got to go.
Let's go.
All right. See you next week.
Hey, I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. Craig Russell, take us out. We'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
The Todd Elevitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, New Millennium Pawn Shop in Mount Pleasant, paying top dollar for gold and silver, and Tim's Collision Plus.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.